Welcome to Liberate Your People Pleaser. I am Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and you might be a people pleaser if you tend to prioritize other people's wants and needs over your own. If you're the peacemaker, if you're always trying to create harmony with the people that you work with and live with, you probably are also an amazing problem solver. You have great intuition, and you're probably an empath, or at least have great skills of empathy. And the reason why I call this Liberate Your People Pleaser and not Fix Your People Pleaser is there's nothing to fix. There's nothing wrong with you. These are fantastic qualities that you have, really superpowers that you just naturally possess and instinctively use. And what gets problematic about them is when they get turned around on other people all the time and not on yourself. And what do I mean by that? Empathy. You can understand how another person feels, you understand their perspective, or you can put yourself in their shoes. And when you do that, you may be prone to giving up your own feelings, your own position, your own perspective, and you make theirs more important. So you're prioritizing what they feel or think or their position over your own. And that's when things start to go awry for us. And so in this podcast, each episode, we'll talk about different ways that we can power up those great skills that we have and use them for ourselves first and then give to others out of that fullness, rather than prioritizing everyone else. So it doesn't make us selfish when we stop prioritizing everybody else. What it does is allows us to have the power that we need internally, the confidence and the clarity that we need internally, to then go impact the world in an even more powerful way. So I'm Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and I'm so glad you're with us. Let's liberate your people pleaser. Welcome everyone to this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Today we're going to talk about the power of choice, because what happens to us when we turn our people-pleasing gifts onto others instead of turning them into ourselves, we lose our power of choice. So this is a great sort of litmus test or way to discern whether or not you're in people-pleasing or you're in your power. Now, in this way, of course, I'm sort of referring to people pleasing as if it's something we don't want. And for those of you who have listened to me for very many episodes, you know that I just sort of see people pleasing as maybe a double-edged sword, in that there are superpowers in it. All the things that are our sort of innate or natural or learned gifts, with problem solving and empathy and intuition, and usually a lot of energy to get things done and, you know, fix things and do things. Those are all gifts that we have. And the way they get distorted is what most people call people pleasing, which is when they are all focused on other people. So we're prioritizing what everybody else needs, what everybody else feels. We're feeling other people's feelings so deeply, we ignore our own feelings, or even if we feel our feelings, they're not as important as. So these are the sort of classic things that are described as people pleasing, which I consider to be great gifts to us when they're turned into ourselves or onto ourselves. And yes, problematic when we've got them all focused on others. So when we are wondering, or maybe, you know, looking for that discernment of, am I into these distortions of my gifts, which gets me prioritizing everybody else, or am I prioritizing myself first? A way to identify that is, do you feel like you have choices? So when we get into a state of disempowerment, where we don't feel like we have choices, we feel like we're trapped, we hear in our own language a lot of, I have to do this, or I can't do that, or, you know, that kind of absolute language, we should, you know, I'm doing that because that's what good mothers do, or that's what good Christians do, or that's what good employees do, or good wives do. And so, you know, I just have to. We have lost our power of choice. And anytime we start to lose our powers of choice, we have given our power away to this other situation or person or career or to our business. Oh my gosh, it happens so much as entrepreneurs that we give our power over to our business or to the clients of our business or to money itself. We can absolutely give our power to money. It's one of the easiest things to give our power to. And then we don't feel like we have choices, right? Like we can't spend that money or we can't go on that vacation because we don't have the money. The money's in charge. I can't quit the job that's sucking the life out of me. I can't leave the relationship that I know I'm unhappy with because of the money, because we can't afford it. Or a lot of times in relationships, it's because of the children. So I don't have a choice because of my children. I've got to stay because it'll be better for them, that sort of thing. So I start to lose my choices. As soon as I've lost my choices, I know I am out of my own authentic power. All right. So when we are out of our power, we have given it to someone else or something or some situation. Now, we talked about this a lot last week in Power Week, and I hope you were able to join us for that. But if not, stay tuned because it was such a great 5 days of training and exercises. I think I'm going to package it up and give it away as a free resource. So stay tuned for that. But meanwhile, one of the things that we talked about was how when we're giving our power away and we don't feel like we have choices, then we often will get into the habit of letting that be our identity. Okay. So I am this person. I am, you know, a person that doesn't have choice. Now you're not using those words in your head. Okay. You're using different words to describe it, like, well, I just can't, or, you know, I have to do this, or, you know, we shouldn't, you know, break up the family, or, you know, whatever it is, I can't leave my job. And so you become this because you have this identity that somehow staying in that situation, that sort of the stability of that, we get a lot of support in our culture for not making change. Okay. Because people get fearful sometimes when they make change, when they get into the unknown and when they're growing, right? Like there's usually a little discomfort when we get into a new growing, you know, opportunity or a new phase of our lives as we grow and expand. When we first get there, it's a little uncomfortable. And a lot of people don't like that discomfort. And then there's a lot of things about the system of patriarchy, for example. This systems within religions can be the same way, where they don't want you, the system doesn't want you to change. They want you to stay in a way that is predictable, controllable, and where you will stay in this disempowered state and not question it. Because as soon as you start to question it and say, wait a minute, do I have to stay here? Do I have to stay in this position of no power, of no choice? Or can I decide that this is not who I am, even if it's how I've always seen myself? I mean, I absolutely saw myself as a mother who stayed home with her children and supported my husband in his, you know, financial or professional life. And that I never thought I would work. Never in a million years did I think I would work. I married someone who didn't want me to work. You know, he was going to support the family. And my job was to stay home, take care of the kids, you know, create a lovely home, participate in our social activities, which were all church oriented, whatever. And that was my identity. That was who I was. And when I started realizing how unhappy I was, in those, I was going to say in those roles, it wasn't really the role. I loved being a mother and I theoretically didn't mind being a wife, but I didn't want to have to be a wife the way he wanted me to be a wife anymore, which meant also I got a lot of judgment from the church that I went to at the time because it wasn't socially or religiously acceptable to get divorced unless your husband had an affair or your wife. But my husband did not have an affair. And so this identity of who I was, you know, sort of picture a Norman Rockwell painting. All right. That's who I thought I was and the life that I was creating. I had to be willing to dismantle that identity, to realize that the truth of who I am was far more expansive than that. It wasn't as rigid as that. There were more choices than just being a good wife or a bad wife because I left my husband, you know, a good wife because I did what he wanted me to do, a good Christian because I did things the way this particular church that I went to wanted me to do things, or their belief system, you know, or a bad Christian because I didn't do them. You know, when we're in our own power and our own truth and have choice, we know there are infinite possibilities, that life isn't that narrow. It's not living out of this tiny little box. And, you know, we're bumping up against what's right and what's wrong all the time. And there's only a little bit of movement that can take place where we get out into what's wrong and all that. No, we live in a world of infinite possibilities and infinite choices. And we come from a source, the divine, God, whatever you want to call it, that is infinite, all kinds of things. When you look through history, you know, that we thought were absolutely true, we know we're not true anymore because science has proven them not to be true, or we've just expanded and grown out of that belief system and realized that's not the case. And we really can do more things than that, or it doesn't have to be that way. So the first thing I want you to do to cultivate this power of choice in your life is to look for those relationships and situations where you feel like you don't have a choice, because that's your entry point, right? That's where, when you can look at it and go, you know what, I really think I have to, you know, make cupcakes for the bake sale. Like, all good mothers do that, so I have to do that, right? Of course, nobody's having a bake sale right now, so that's a pre-COVID example, but whatever it is in today's world, you know, that you're thinking of that you have to do. I've gotten so far away from this, it's hard for me to even think of a good example right now because I don't do this anymore. But anything you're feeling like you have to do, that's your entry point. And it can be something as silly as, you know, something you said you would do for your kid's school, or a friend and their charity, they're involved in the charity you're directly involved in, whatever, some kind of volunteer thing that may in fact be a very good deed, okay? Because by saying no, if in fact that's what we decide, we're not going to participate, no doesn't mean we disagree with or we don't support or, you know, there's any sort of judgment. No is simply choosing to do something different, okay? So start where you feel like you don't have a choice in something, even if it's really small, okay? And then you know that that person or that situation has power over you right now, and maybe in the past, but doesn't have to in the future, okay? This can be as seemingly small as even the way you eat. You may eat because of what other people in your household like to eat, or because the family that you came out of ate a certain way and you just kept, you know, when you left home, you just kept eating that way. So it doesn't matter. This is not about just big grandiose things like I need, you know, to change a relationship or change a job, or I've given my power away to money or something like that. It's about using this idea of choice. Where do I feel like I have choice and where do I feel like I don't have choice? To start to identify the places, the situation, the people in your life where you've given your power back, given your power to them, and you need to take your power back. Okay. So the first thing I want you to do is just know, identify that situation. And now, and this may surprise you, But I'm not going to ask you to change anything. The most important thing, once you identify and you have a consciousness around something that you've given your power to, is to simply get your power back. It's not to go change the situation, because that's what happens when we get reactive or we get in that kind of knee-jerk reaction where it's like you have this, you know, momentary insight that whatever, we'll take it in a romantic relationship. You know, I'm not being seen and heard. I don't feel like I have, you know, any choice in a number of situations in our marriage. And now I'm going to go, I get it. I've given my power away to my spouse and now I'm going to go lash out at them, right? And demand I must have this or that or whatever. Okay. That's not what we're going for here. True power is different than that type of demand that is kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Now, it's probably a lot more on track or closer to the truth, let's say, than where you were in your unconscious sort of submission, just sort of giving up your power. So a lot of times that reaction is closer to the truth. So whatever, if you've reacted and you're thinking about this in something that's happened recently, that's okay. That reaction is probably closer to the truth than you were when you were in that place of diminishment and not in your power. But the next time it occurs, what I want you to do is just realize that this is now your opportunity to take your power back. Power is an inside job. It's not about circumstances and it's not initially in what you do. Okay. So a lot of times we think if that situation changes, I'll feel like I have power. I'll feel like I have choice, but that's not really, it's not really the case. It may be for a little bit of time. It's kind of the way retail therapy improves your mood, right? Like it's great fun at the time. And then, you know, a few hours or a day or so later, the thrill of the purchase is over and you're back to being unhappy again, because those aren't the real answers. So getting angry and, you know, yelling at your spouse or, you know, storming into your boss and, you know, giving them whatever, a piece of your mind might help in the moment and it might even help you feel more powerful in the moment, but long-term, it's not going to sustain you because that's an external thing. Power is an inside job. Turning those people-pleasing habits onto yourself instead of others. So it's going to yourself and thinking or journaling. This is what one of the reasons I love journaling. Okay, what is it that I want? I feel like I get now that I've given my power away to this thing or this situation or this person. What is it that I want? What would make me feel powerful? How can I change my feeling state through movement, through lovingly communicating to myself, through nurturing myself? How do I change how powerful I feel internally? Because empowered is actually your natural state. We just get so used to, habituated into not feeling powerful sometimes. I mean, that was definitely the case for me and most people pleasers. You have been habituated into not feeling powerful. So that feeling of not feeling powerful is more normal to you. It feels more, it's really going to feel even more comfortable, even if you're unhappy, because it's what you know. The feeling state of power may be a little less, you know, clear to you, a little less known. But one of the ways you're going to know you're getting there is you start to see choices. And so instead of just losing my temper with my boss or my spouse or, you know, whatever, that is a temporary fix, I start to feel like I have choices that are more long-term. Like, okay, well, I could start to have a conversation about this thing that I don't like the way it's happening or where I feel like I have no choice. Let's start to have a conversation about that. I'm going to share the truth of what I want and need, which means I need to get clear on what I want and need. the way that you're so clear on what other people want and need, right? That's one of the things about being a people pleaser. We're so good at knowing what other people want and need and how they feel. So we're just going to turn that on ourselves. What do I want and need? How do I feel? Okay. And for now, that's as far as I want you to go. Okay. Just to understand that your job is not to go change the situation or the relationship so that you will stop feeling disempowered. Your job is to feel powerful, cultivate that feeling of empowerment, getting in tune with what you want and need and feel, learning internally, I'll say, this is kind of like that. I've talked about this before, this inner loving presence is what I call it, or it could be like your ideal mother, your ideal cheerleader, your ideal mentor, you know, your inner Oprah, whatever you want it to be, that is cheering you on in that and asking them, you know, it's really just this wiser part of yourself. What would be in my highest good right now? You know, so you're cultivating this empowerment and cultivating choices. You want a lot of choices, not just one or two. You want a lot of choices. Then you can go see how you want to apply that into the situation. But initially, your job, you know, I told a story in the program last week about a time, this was about 6 years ago, and I was very discouraged professionally and financially. And I was sitting in my car and I was just really bummed out. And I actually had the thought, I'm not good enough to be successful. I'm just not good enough. I don't have, you know, the skills, the talents, the, you know, whatever, that all boils down to not good enough. And that I had come far enough in my journey to know that that was not true. And to know that that's a classic, you know, inner dialogue of the inner critic, not my inner wise woman. And so it kind of jolted me, just being consciously aware I was thinking, it kind of also jolted me out of it. And so I realized right then, I mean, yes, I was in some difficult circumstances professionally and financially, and I did need to make some changes, but I knew right then my job was not to go make those changes to try to make myself feel good enough. It was to feel good enough, right? To go refine that and cultivate that. I went for a walk. I think I called a friend, this was 6 years ago, I don't remember exactly, but that's a great thing to do if you have a friend who you know is going to really believe in you and give you that little pep talk you need, as long as you can internalize it, as long as you can internalize those words. And what happens is you end up giving yourself the pep talk, right? And believing in yourself and knowing that you are good enough. And, you know, so you really pump yourself up in doing that. And so I knew that my job was to get myself back to feeling absolutely good enough to do anything that I wanted to do, knowing that I am a unique expression of the divine as you are. And we are all here on this unique journey to do these unique things that no one else can do the way I do. I'm sure there's lots of other life coaches, but nobody else does life coaching exactly the way I do. Nobody else has a podcast exactly like mine. My thoughts are my own. Your thoughts are your own. Your way of communicating is unique. Your way of expressing yourself is unique. And when you get to that, you have choices and you have that internal sense of power. And then look at the problem and go, okay, now that I'm back and grounded in the beauty and magnificence of who I am, how do I really want to face this issue? And from there, because you're already in choice, you will find numerous ways that you can approach whatever that situation is. So I can't wait to hear what your response is to this. And, you know, each week in the show notes, I have a link where you can ask me a question. So if you have a situation or, you know, a relationship or something that whatever you don't think this applies to, or you don't, you know, you've tried, but you haven't been able to get yourself there or something, please, please, please use that link and submit your question, because I would love to do a podcast. I can keep your identity private. And I would love to do a podcast about whatever it is that this conversation has caused you to then think about in your own specific setting and how you might be able to use what we've talked about here in a, you know, stronger way for yourself, because you guys know me, I'm all about making it practical. So I don't want you to leave a podcast and only feel inspired or only think that was a great idea. I want you to be able to do it, right? So let me know your questions, any comments, any questions you want to put down in the comments, wherever you're seeing this, please feel free to do that. Or always you're free to email me, Brenda@BrendaFlorida.com. And I will see you in the next episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. As I mentioned at the end of this episode, I have a new coaching package I call the Power Package. This is for everybody who wants to turn up the light on that dimmer switch and regain your sense of personal power. Anything, we can work on any issue that's taking your power away. It could be your kids, it could be your job, it could be your finances, it could be a relationship, it could be something just from your past that keeps zapping you and you can't seem to get rid of it. We'll work with that very specifically and very intimately, working with me one-on-one. That's why I love one-on-one packages, because it's not a formula. It is diving into what specifically has triggered you and what will specifically for you regain that sense of power. It's already there. It's not outside of you. You already have it. It's just sort of gotten lost or covered up or whatever word you want to use. And we will together uncover it, find it, access it, so you can turn up the light on that dimmer switch and live in the power and possibility that is already within you. So I've got the link in the show notes for the Power Package, so you can check that out. There's two versions. You can book a call with me if you're not sure which one's right for you. So just go check all that out and then get in touch with me if you have any questions. And then of course, there's the private Facebook group, Liberate Your People Pleaser. I'll have the link to that in the show notes. And you can always ask me a question that you want me to address on Liberate Your People Pleaser, or send me an email. My email is also in the show notes, Brenda@BrendaFlorida.com. And let me know what's helped you in these podcasts, what you're still struggling with. I am here to be your partner on the journey. So thank you for joining me in this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser.